The book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, that we might come heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hear the word of the Lord.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm not Peter Arnett, well spotted. Reverend Pete is on compassionate leave this week. He's in Wagga, spending time with his wife and kids and his wife Amanda's mum. So Pete has asked me to step in and preach this morning. So I'm very happy to come and do that with you this morning. My name's Hannah Jackson. I'm a church council elder here at Glebe Road and a lay preacher. And it is absolutely my pleasure to share the word with you this morning about the heart of Christmas, because Christmas is absolutely my favourite thing. I'm a complete Christmas tragic, and so I'm super excited this morning because it's Christmas Day. But I have to admit to you all that for the last 3 years, I've read the Nativity story a little bit differently than I used to. You see, I've given birth twice in the last 3 years. Two drug-free, 12-hour labours. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. And, you know, my youngest, my daughter in particular, she just was not interested in being born. She had no interest at all in coming out that day. And I remember a couple of times during labour turning to my husband, Tim, and just being like, you know what, I'm done. Let's go home. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not having a good time. Let's go home. We'll try again another day. And so those experiences of childbirth, you know, beautiful as they were, have really shaped how I read this story. And I can't help but notice some of the important details that have been left out of the Nativity story that Kent has just read to us really beautifully. There are some mothers in the room who are looking at me like, we know. And I really think, like, case in point is the part in Luke chapter 2 that Kent just read, which I think should really read like this. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, following hours of excruciating labour, agonising contractions, following which she collapsed in complete exhaustion, while Joseph, traumatised by having just watched an entire human being come out of the woman that he loves, wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like that's how the story should read. But because we tell this story every year, we sort of skate over the reality, I think, of what it must have been like. And we allow ourselves to get drawn in to the beautiful Christmas card pictures where everything is clean and everything is perfect and everything is white. And I can't help but think that the actual event must have been so much messier than that, so much more authentic. Because at its most raw, the Nativity story is about childbirth. And at the core of that story, at the heart of Christmas, is hope. Outrageous, knock your socks off, unbelievable hope. Hope because God has not forgotten the world. Hope because in Jesus there is grace and love for everyone. The Christmas story shows us the kind of saviour that Jesus is. Not a conquering hero arriving on a war horse, but a vulnerable baby conceived by an unmarried woman in, frankly, dubious social circumstances, born in a stable with a birth announced just to shepherds. It's a story that gives us incredible hope that the God of the universe has not given up on humanity, but came human like us to save us from our sin. You know, when I think about Mary, young Mary, in labour, my heart really goes out to her. A young, unmarried virgin whose life is just interrupted by this angel declaring that in spite of her virginity, she was going to have a baby. if you don't mind. Thanks very much. And I just wonder, like, did she know what she was in for? Did she recognize the blessing and the challenge that lay ahead? I just can't help but wonder whether she knew in that moment with the angel how much her life was going to impact the course of history. And even whether she had expectations about what giving birth to the Son of God was going to be like, practically. Like, did she expect to give birth in a stable? The stable, which in actual fact was probably more like a cave in limestone rock. So all these lovely Christmas card pictures we have in our heads just go out the window when we realize that this is probably just Mary and Joseph alone in a cave, birthing their very first child. And so what does that tell us? That God chose as the mother of God's son a young woman without money or education, and that she responds with joy and obedience because God could see her heart. God knew that she was worthy. Young and unmarried, two things in those days that made her pretty unnoticeable, but noticed by God and chosen by God. And then following the birth, there's this announcement, because following the birth of a king, there's always an announcement. And Jesus gets angels, which is pretty amazing. But the angels declare the good news to poor men in a field, not powerful men in a synagogue. Shepherds, night field workers, essentially, they're the ones that God chose to hear the good news first. In an incredible demonstration of just how much God cares about the poor and the marginalized, God wanted them to know that the birth of Jesus was as significant for them as it was for anybody else. This Savior was born for the whole world. A poor family and lowly shepherds, they're our characters so far in the story. It's hardly the stuff of royalty. And yet this is exactly how God chose to arrive on earth among us. One of the names that the Bible has for Jesus is Emmanuel. It means God with us. And it's that presence of God in our midst that we celebrate at Christmas. That's the thing that gives us hope. I said before that at its most raw, the Christmas story is about childbirth, but it's actually about a lot of things. Last Christmas, a Puerto Rican pastor named Carlos Rodriguez caused a bit of a storm on Twitter when he tweeted this: Christmas is about believing what a woman said about her sex life. Christmas is about a family finding safety as refugees. Christmas is about a child in need receiving support from the wealthy. Christmas is about God identifying himself with the marginalized and not the powerful. I didn't realize it was possible to fit so much truth in one tweet, but there you have it. The hope we find at the heart of Christmas comes alive when you recognize the themes in the world today. We see the heart of God in every element of this story, and it reaches out and grabs us right where we are. If you take anything with you out of church this morning and into your family celebrations, I would really like for you to carry this truth. There is hope. Because God came and lived among us and died among us and was resurrected, there is love and grace for everyone who would have it. That's how much God loves you. There is hope because God is with us. God has not given up on us. In a desperate attempt to ensure that each and every one of you knows just how much you are loved, just how much you are valued, just how much your life is significant, Jesus came as a tiny baby in a poor family so that there would be no confusion about who was or wasn't worthy of salvation. And he lived a life so that we might know God's amazing grace. In the reading from Titus this morning, it said, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Saved not because of anything we have done, but because of God's mercy. There's an old theologian named Oswald Chambers who said, God loved me not because I was lovable, but because it was his nature to do so. And in that incredible love demonstrated in the birth of Jesus, there is such hope for humanity, hope for every one of us. By coming to earth in human form, it's like God is shouting with the loudest voice imaginable, I have never given up on you. I have never turned away from you. I am right here. What was it that the angels said to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace. Peace, because God is here right alongside us. So I want to say to you this morning, if your life feels hard, if things just aren't working out like you thought they would, if you're not quite sure what the future holds, be encouraged. There is hope in Jesus, and he is reaching out for you. And if your life feels easy and everything is going tickety-boo and your life plan is going exactly as you imagined it would, be challenged. There is hope in Jesus, and he is reaching out for you. There are so many parts of this Christmas story that offer us hope. The young woman, the birth in a stable to a poor couple, the announcement to shepherds, all of these things point to a Jesus who came to save us when we are at our most vulnerable. This story gives us hope that God was serious about dwelling among us. At the heart of Christmas, church, is hope because of God's determined love for humanity. This story gives us hope that salvation is for everyone. God loves the world so much that this gift of a Savior comes to us today in the form of a tiny baby boy. And because of that child and all the love and the grace he brings, there is hope for a world that desperately needs it. Would you pray with me? God, on this Christmas morning, we recognize the fingerprints of your love and grace in every part of this story. We thank you that wherever we are and whatever situation we're in, you offer us hope and salvation. We thank you that the birth of your Son brought the world love and peace and joy and hope like never before. Remind us, Lord, that no matter our circumstance, you have never once given up on us, never once turned your back on us. And remind us always that your presence here on earth gives us hope for a new day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.